This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the great state of Texas. The lead stories are Apple iPhone event on the horizon. Is Google biased? Facebook, Twitter, and Google are going to be in the hot seat on September 5th. In the UK, should work emails answered while commuting be counted as work? I want to welcome you to episode 1309 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, April 30th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. I know we've been growing the show. Been seeing the stats numbers. We've seen an increase in listeners. So thanks for folks for subscribing. Of course, for all of you that are longtime existing listeners, part of the Ohana, thanks for being here. For those of you brand new, get over to geeknewscentral.com, subscribe to the show. You'll find that right in the right-hand column of the website. And of course, you can subscribe to the newsletter. It's on that main page at geeknewscentral.com as well. And, you know, if you want to know where to get this show or to watch it, now I'm on travel, so it's audio only this show. We'll be back in the studio next week. But you can watch the show on the Apple TV or by the Roku channel via the Tech Podcast channel or the Roku app via the Tech Podcast channel. You can listen on blueberry.com. You can listen on your smart device by using the keyword to launch your device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. This show is normally streamed live, usually at live.geeknewscentral.com or on Facebook. We'll be back with that again next week, of course. But more importantly, you can get interactive with the community here by joining our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Slack channel. All you got to do is drop me an email. I'll get you connections to both of those, or just log in at geeknews.chat. You can contact me via email, geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter, @geeknews. Follow me on Facebook, of course, by just searching for my name, Todd Cochran. Partner shows include The Gadget Professor, The Pro Gear Site, New Media Show, and of course, the Podcast Legend shows. And more importantly, if you want to pick up some gear, you can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. This show is, of course, sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy, the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. And tomorrow, I believe I'm getting my new codes, and we'll see what we have for new deals. But take advantage while they last. 99cent.com, 30% off discount code, $1 a month economy hosting or managed WordPress hosting. $1 a month for the first year includes a free domain. So definitely check those deals out at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Again, I want to welcome all of you to the show. I'm glad to be wrapping up here. It's been, it's been a busy, it's hard to believe it's almost been 2 weeks. Just lots of hours. I'm ready to be back in Hawaii, back in the studio. There'll be no show on Monday because of the holiday here in the United States, but I'll be back on Thursday with a regular edition with video back in the studio. But again, wrapping up my trip. It's been a pretty good one. But I think, in all intents and purposes, I'm gonna be back in Texas again, maybe as early as October. We'll see. I'll keep you advised on that. Hey, one thing I did do a call today. Talked with Don Bain, and we're talking about CES and the plans and what kind of sharing with him some of my thoughts on what we're gonna do or what I was planning on doing at CES. And he thinks that our best strategy for CES this year is to do only live. Don't do floor interviews, because the toll it takes on us to go around and essentially walk miles and miles and miles to talk to a variety of vendors, he thinks we would be better well-suited to really focus on handfuls of companies that we want to talk to, do live during the show, not as extensive as we have in the past, maybe 5 or 6 hours versus 8, 9, or 10, and stay super, super focused. So we're going to look at that a little bit for CES. and see how that works out. Definitely going to have a relatively small team at CES this year. I had planned on going solo. I think that's still going to be the point how I'm going to move forward. Really taking a new perspective on CES, as I've talked to you already a little bit about during the show. We got to figure out how to make it work so that it's not such a stretch financially. That's a big part of it. We haven't got as much bang for the buck out of the show as we have in years past. I think our strategy is decent from what we've done last year. Just need to refine it a little bit, and we'll see how it goes. But that's what it is. You know, we adjust and make changes, and I think that's probably what we're going to do this year. But we will have content, obviously, from CES. Again, it may only be floor interviews, or it may only be live. And the live content may be it. We may just only do live. And that's, again, a change in strategy here. Go and do the live event, and then post-show, consider doing interviews that would go up on single individual posts. I don't know. We're just going to have to play it by ear and look at it and see where the budget lands. And if we, you know, if we find a couple of sponsors, it's going to help out as well. But anyway, that's kind of what the discussion him and I had today. And we'll take it from there. And I do know I booked my hotel, and I probably booked a little late because I couldn't get into the place I normally stay at. Prices are way up again this year. Vegas is becoming very expensive during the show time frame. I was lucky to get into, I think I'm staying at the D downtown versus staying at the Plaza. So that saved me about $400 or $500, believe it or not, for the period that we were there. So anytime you can save those kinds of bucks, it's always good. But again, wrapping up the trip here, ready to be back. Kirk's put together a good show for us tonight. I've got a lot of great articles to go through. In fact, I have some stuff that I've added as well that I found. But more importantly here, thanks for everyone for being patient while I've been on the road only doing an audio-only show. So Apple has confirmed the 2018 iPhone event for September 12th, and their theme is Gather Round. Please join us for an Apple special event at the Steve Jobs Theater in Cupertino, September 12th. So with that, though, we got some insights today on the potentially leaked look to the new iPhones, and some interesting design looks. No hint of a button. Looks like they're all screen. So very, very excited to see what's announced on September 12th. There's also been a leak of what the new Apple Watch Series 4 is going to look like, and this display has grown, a massive display. With a lot more information on it, more further spread out. So we'll see. We'll see what the what everything is going to look like once we get the announcements made on the 12th. I know that I'm due for an iPhone upgrade, so I'm definitely going to be making the jump. I'll make a decision on the 12th which phone I'm going to get. But definitely this is the year for me to make an upgrade. How many of you are thinking about upgrading this year or due for one? Or maybe is this your off year? Definitely this is the year for me to make the bounce here. So looking forward to seeing what they have to announce on the 12th of September. This next topic is one that's a little bit interesting. You know, there's been, the news. I've watched a little bit more news on this trip than I would normally watch at home. Generally don't watch any news. And to be honest with you, it's just so vile right now that the television network news is, I can barely stand to watch almost any of it. But the president definitely was out on full blast mode over the last couple of days talking about Google, specifically saying Google has a bias in search results. And I know that there's a lot of things that go into Google search results. If you don't have a good optimized website, you don't have good content, you don't have a lot of traffic, you know, you're not going to rank well in search results. Because I've always done a tech show, you know, I've never had to even consider that my content would be biased, and basically I would be downranked because of the actual content, because it's not politically related. I do know that I compete with big names in the space like The Verge and Gizmodo, and of course those are huge endeavors run by big corporations, and they have immense power on the search engines just because, you know, they have their own team dedicated to SEO, they have their own team dedicated to graphics, they have their, you know, their army of writers. You know, they've got this mechanism to make sure that their content is always ranking number one, number two in the search results. So I'm never disappointed when I see a Geek News Central article coming in third or fourth or maybe even fifth in the ranking. I'm still in the game because I'm in that stack. So, you know, I've spent a lot of time over the years looking at where we fall out. And be honest with you, I haven't been paying too close attention to it in recent months. It's because we've always done so well. And when we search on Google, we just assume we're going to get three or four results of things that, you know, three or four sources that are trusted out there. So I don't do political searches. I don't do searches on political news or political commentary. I just don't. You know, but what we could assume, if I take the analogy from tech and move it over into the news space, I would expect CNN, Fox, MSNBC, all these ABC, CBS, all these big networks have huge web development teams. You know, their digital footprint is massive. So I would always expect that their content would probably, you would naturally think, would rise to the top. ESPN sports content, you would expect their content to rise to the top just because they're such a big organization. So I'm sure if you go and you look at one specific website that may have been ranking well and all of a sudden maybe drop in the ranking, there can be all kinds of reasons for that. Yes, there could someone be shadow banning. There could be, or they could have ended up with something on their website that caused them to lose authority. So there's all kinds of things that go into search engine results. I just find it a bit of a stretch to think that Google would specifically target specific sites. But there is the claim out there, not only by the president, but by others who have had websites that they feel there's been some bias against them. So as I told you guys after the election, or even before the election, I said, you know, strap in and buy lots of popcorn, because this is going to be an interesting time to watch. And it's obviously continues to be so. And whatever your politics are, it does raise interesting questions. We should all be able to say, is there bias in search results? How would we know if there is, as just general consumers? I think if we search for something and we find what we're looking for, we all pretty much say, yeah, it was a good search result. I know there's some search terms that I watch closely that I often wonder, how did we drop a spot, or how did we come up a spot? What caused a change? I look at my inbound traffic from time to time. So internally, I have a pretty good idea where we fall on certain topics. So I don't know how many people really keep that close of a watch, but Senator Orrin Hatch is asking the FTC to investigate this after the president announced these bias attacks. I don't know if they're inclined forced to, I don't know if that is an action that causes a reaction or if that's something they take under advisement. But he sent FTC Chairman Joseph Simmons a letter in which he expressed concern about recent reports on Google search and digital advertising practices. Hatch's letter cites a variety of disquieting reports. He mentions a May 60-minute segment that highlighted Google's massive size and power over other web companies. Now, we know that's true, as well as a July controversy over third-party app developers who were given access to Gmail messages. We talked about that on this show. And he also mentioned that Google has decided to remove from its platforms legal businesses that the company apparently doesn't agree with, which could be a reference to Google blocking gun sales for its shopping platform or blocking ads from disruptible drug and alcohol treatment centers, or simply banning YouTube channels. We know that the European Union fined Google $5 billion last month for abusing its Android market dominance. So Hatch has asked the FTC to do this in the past. He, so far, is the only lawmaker critical of Google's potential monopolistic power. And at the same time, he defended Google against what he called the lazy mantra that big is bad. I don't think any of us that are true entrepreneurs think big is bad, because we all have a dream of being big and being a market dominator, right? So we'll see what happens here. But and again, I think a lot of this bias talk ends up being a situation where if you are left of center, you probably will say there's no conspiracy. This is crazy talk. If you're right of center, you may have a tendency to agree. But I think we have to bring the narrative back to the point where we start using some common sense and look at the overall picture. And I think as a group, we can hope that there are no biases. We can hope that Google has a set of code that doesn't have weighting factors that causes some content to be biased and to be shadow banned. I think that's a, you know, that is a concern. None of us want to see that. The content should stand on its own merit. But again, perspective is a big part of this. What if someone, what if you have a team that is looking at a wide variety of search results and says, you know, in my opinion, this particular site is not as reputable, and they get downgraded, then that would drop them from the search results. If there's biasing in the review, then you could have a problem. But if there's no human intervention and it's purely the Google machine, the Google code that's making these calls, I think we could safe to say that probably there's no bias. But how would you ever prove it? How could you ever go into detail that something has been purposely done to downrank content from any content creator? I know that there's been times in the past on Geek News Central where I have made a mistake. We did a number of years ago, and we got put in the penalty box for a little bit because of the way the content was structured, and specifically the show notes. You know, there's a reason today that when you come to Geek News Central and you see the blog post of the podcast, that the links to all the articles I talked to are on a secondary page, and actually we invoke code on those pages so that those links don't look like a link farm. They all have no follow, and it's basically we tell Google, don't index that, so you don't put me in the penalty box. Just rank my blog post upon what's above the link line. And that helped us a great deal in years past in making that separation, and it fixed a lot of the issues for search that we were having for a short period of time. So if you guys remember, we actually launched a website called gncshownotes.com. I was so concerned about the impact that Google had upon us that I had removed the links to content completely from Geek News Central until we got it figured out. So I'd love to hear you guys' comments on this. Do you think there's bias in search results? Do you see how there could be biasing in search results? Again, I know that it probably, to a person, the way the rhetoric is in this country right now, I think the folks that on the left will say, there's no bias. And the folks on the right will say, well, there is bias. I don't see how we avoid that. But I think if everyone can look at this in a calm demeanor and look at analysis, I think we all could agree. I'm hoping we all can agree that if there is bias in the content, rankings, and that stuff is potentially being shadow banned, I think we can assume that is bad behavior that a company shouldn't be allowed to do, especially as big as they are. So it's going to be interesting to watch this. Well, next week is going to be another big news week as far as it goes for these executives to go stand in front of Congress. But Facebook, Twitter, Google are going to be a Senate Intelligence Committee on September 5th. It's going to be live streamed. It starts at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. So those of you on the West Coast, you're going to have to get up early. But one thing's for sure is that people are not happy that potentially Alphabet's media shy CEO Larry Page potentially will not be there. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with this. But that happens next week. Interesting article over in the BBC. Excuse me here. Thought I was going to sneeze. They've got a headline. This is a headline. Emails while commuting should count as work. We are like hardcore digitally connected now. I really can't go anywhere without my phone being attached to my hip. I have Slack notifications going off. I have Twitter notifications going off. I have social media tracking keywords pinging me. I have email coming in, Facebook notifications. It just, the list goes on and on and on. And as a business owner, you know, my monitoring and responding to content and questions and issues really is a 24/7 job. But I'm also the CEO. So when my employees are out, I want them to be home relaxing, giving their brain a rest, and don't want them, looking at email. Although I know a few of my team members, every once in a while I'll catch an email coming in at 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night that they've replied to. Maybe they've saw something that they thought they should. And I don't encourage that. I want them to be able to have downtime, but you know, I appreciate that they're cognizant enough of what's going on with the company that they feel that a customer may need some extra touch points or something that they do this. But at the same time, I've always told them, if you're going to be responding to stuff that is of a critical nature after hours, I want you to put that on your timesheet. I'm not afraid to pay someone that has had to put in the extra time when something has popped up that they feel they need to interject themselves with. So, you know, I'm happy to pay them for their time. They're working. So how many of us have jobs where if we are putting in extra time after hours, we're going to get paid? I think to a person, probably almost none of us have that happening from our prospective companies, but oftentimes you feel obligated to do so because you're going to be behind the eight ball. So commuters, we know, are using travel time to work, to do work. Should that be counted as part of the working day? If they spend an hour in a train responding to work emails for an hour and they have an 8-hour workday, when they pop into the office, should they be able to leave 6 hours later because they've got another hour of commute on the way home that would allow them to clock in 8 hours? Should they be able to claim that? I think that's the question. The study examined 5,000 rail passengers on commuter routes into London as Wi-Fi became more available. And the study to be presented at the Royal Geographical Society on Thursday found that 54% of commuters are using the train's Wi-Fi for sending work emails. Others were using their own mobile phone connections for work emails as well. Those on the way to work were catching up with emails sent ahead of the coming day, while those on the return journey were finishing off work not completed during regular working hours. They say it's dead time. It's a way that we can do this while we're en route to finish stuff up and not have to work from home. So that tells me that some folks are not able to accomplish everything that they need to during the day, so they have to work at home. I think that's bad for us, really, to be honest with you. So what do you think? Do you think these folks should that are actually working and can't account for that should be paid for it? What about those of us that are responding to work emails at 9 o'clock at night when we're home and should be tunking kids into bed? Should we be paid for that time? Or is it just part of our ecosphere now that it's assumed this is what you have to do? It's part of the life we live now that work follows us home and we're obligated to do additional work off the clock. Geeknews@gmail.com. I've always said that having someone shop for me would be awesome. Grocery shopping, especially. Now, I be honest with you, I don't do a lot of grocery shopping. I do it about once a year, and then I'm banned from doing grocery shopping for once a year because the grocery bill is usually about 20 to 30% higher than what it would be if my wife actually went grocery shopping, because I just put in the cart what I want. I don't look at coupons or anything like that. But Instacart is expanding its partnership with Kroger, bringing Instacart delivery to 75 additional Kroger markets, growing Instacart's Kroger footprint by 50% nationwide. This expansion will be completed by late October, bringing Instacart delivery to more than 1,600 Kroger stores. This builds on Instacart's momentum following partnership deals with chains like Albertsons, Aldi, Sam's Club, and Loblaw, L-O-B-L-A-W. So now they're saying that Instacart is now available to 70% of all households across the United States. Wow. Last year, the company announced its goal to reach 80% of the U.S. by the end of 2018. And this February, they raised $200 million in additional funding, and it basically raised their value of the company to $4.2 billion. And of course, with Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods, Instacart has been put in a challenging position, but in many ways, that challenge has represented opportunity. So I don't shop for groceries on Amazon. It's sometimes not cost-effective for Hawaii. Even though we get Prime, not everything is covered. So, anyway, are you using Instacart? If you are, I'd love to hear your experiences with it. Geeknews@gmail.com is a place to send your content or your commentary. Google Assistant now shows info on TVs with Chromecast. So this long-awaited feature shows answers to your questions while you watch TV. So I think we all can admit Google Assistant is getting better at using visuals to help answer your questions. And of course, after launching on the Lenovo Smart Display and the JBL Link View, which combine the functionality of a Google Home Smart Speaker with a touchscreen Google Assistant, it's now going to make use of what is likely the biggest screen in your house, your TV. This was promised as early as April, May of 2017. It's finally making its way through. Also, you can now talk to Google Assistant in multiple languages. So this is cool. So what did they add? Google Assistant will now be able to understand and speak more than one language at a time. This will be used for bilingual homes where family members often switch back and forth between languages. That happens at my house. When I'm there, it's almost all English, and when I'm gone, it's almost all Japanese. Google Assistant can understand any pair of languages with English, German, French, Spanish, Italian, and Japanese. Oh, we're going to have to try this. It goes without saying, and the company confirms it's going to expand this functionality in more languages in the coming months. Japanese tough. Most of these devices do not understand Japanese. On a more fun front here, Osmo Super Studio. You got a creative kid? Osmo Super Studio lets kids draw their own Disney cartoons. They can color in Mickey, the Incredibles, or other Disney characters and watch them move on the iPad. This is pretty cool. So this could be the start of a child's journey toward a Disney animation career. The company announced Super Studio Thursday, which uses an iPad app, a base with a specialized camera, and a notepad to take the child's drawings and turn them into animation. So this is fun stuff. I saw the video on this. It's pretty cool, folks. Now, the Super Studio Kit will be available at Apple stores for $59. It includes the iPad base, the game, a marker, eraser, and the Mickey Mouse theme book. International pricing is not available, but the U.S. price converts roughly to £45 or Australian $80. So I think this is cool stuff. Teaching kids to do animation. Awesome, 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 awesome. Because everyone's got at least one creative kid in the house. I'm not it. I'm not the creative kid in my house. Chris, my youngest son, is the creative whiz. All right, you Windows folks, 7 ways to customize Cortana in Windows 10. So there's a great write-up here on some hacks that you can do to basically customize Cortana. And so this is something you're going to want to check out. You can add or remove the submit button in Cortana search box. You can change or remove the Cortana search box text. You can change the Cortana search back background transparency. You can change the Cortana search box highlight transparency. Just a whole number of little things here, the little interesting hacks you can do on Windows 10. So link will be up in the show notes on that. The folks over at MakeUseOf.com have a blog post up. Is what is the best smart TV operating system? And I'm torn. They list the Roku. They list the Web OS. They list the Android TV. They list Tizen OS and the Fire TV Edition. And to be honest with you, from my experience so far, the Android TV, and it's the one I use the most on my Sony TV, it's built in, is really, really slick. If you have a smart home system that it's built into the TV, Android TV is king. Now, if you have a dumb TV like I have in my bedroom, believe it or not, it's a toss-up between my Roku and my Amazon because I'm never on a regular cable channel per se. So, but I do like Android TV when it's built into the TV. I think it's really, really sick. I haven't had experience with Tizen OS or the Fire TV Edition. That might be interesting to play around with. I haven't seen that version yet. And I'm absolutely not at all familiar with Web OS. That is, and I'm just looking at the interface here of that in the screenshot they have in this article, and it really doesn't look that enticing, to be frank. It looks a little dated. Do you like guacamole? How much do you like it? A study will pay you $300 to eat avocados daily for 6 months. So if you love the guac, you can eat avocados. They want you to eat avocados daily for 6 months. Now, they'd have to pay me a little more than that. They want 1,000 people to do this. Why? The study will examine whether eating one avocado per day reduces visceral adipose fat in the abdomen. They say it's going to reduce fat? Really? I don't get it. I think eating avocado every day, isn't it avocado like super high in calories? All right. Anyway, here's your chance if you love avocados. They don't say if they pay for them or not. Students, if you have a college student can get Hulu and Showtime cheap through Spotify. So Spotify is offering an end of summer balm in the form of a pretty good deal. The music streaming service announced on their website that Spotify Premium for students will include an unlimited ad-free and podcast plus access to Hulu limited commercials and Showtime streaming service. The price tag is 99 cents for the first 4 months, and then $4.99 thereafter. So anyway, there's your option for a student that's headed off to college, maybe to get some television cheap. Believe me, in college, do you have time to watch TV? Honestly, even as a part-time student, when I was going to school and I was just taking three classes and working a regular job, I barely had time to breathe. If you're taking a full load, six or seven classes, there's no time for TV. I just don't think there is. But I guess these kids find time to play video games, so maybe so. Are you outside the United States? A lot of our listeners here are. If you want to know how to access HBO from outside the United States, there is some good article here by the folks from Lifehacker. Talks how you can make this happen, and how you can watch HBO from outside the United States. Link will be up in the show notes. T-Mobile Sprint merger will bring higher prices. Small carriers are telling the FCC. T-Mobile's USA proposed acquisition of Sprint would harm competition and consumers, particularly in rural America. This is what a lobby group for small carriers are telling the FTC. So they filed petitions with the FCC requesting a block to the T-Mobile-Sprint merger. Removing Sprint from the equation through further industry consolidation result in less competition, which would drive prices higher for consumers. And when decidedly contrary to the public interest, this Rural Wireless Association said, the FCC is required to evaluate whether mergers benefit the public or not. I think what we've seen in the past, this deal is going to go through no matter what anyone says. I don't think how it can change, to be quite honest with you. Firefox will soon block ad tracking software by default. That's finally coming. I can't believe that I don't use Firefox that much anymore. I still have it on all my desktops. And I use it for specific purposes. So we'll see. But there's an announcement today that it will block web trackers by default is coming to Firefox. Also, Sennheiser has introduced the Momentum True Wireless Earbuds, which provides stereo sound thanks to 7mm dynamic drivers. These earbuds have a 4-hour battery life. The charging case holds an additional 8 hours. They'll be available starting in mid-November for Hold On To Your Hats, $299.95. Wow, $299.95 for Sennheiser's first true wireless earbuds with only 4 hours of battery usage. Polaroid Mint. Polaroid Mint is an instant digital camera and printer. So, Polaroid has launched a couple of new products. We've covered them in the past, but this year at IFA 2018 in Berlin, the Polaroid Mint 2-in-1 is an instant digital camera that's also capable of printing out your pictures there and then. A second product called the Polaroid Mint is a mini instant digital pocket printer. We reviewed most of these devices in their original format before. These little it does a good job, but it's not like you get a full-size traditional Polaroid picture. You get almost a picture kind of the same size as what you would get out of like one of those picture vending machines. That's about the size of the picture that these devices print. They are really slick, and they're relatively inexpensive. $99 is the cost, is the base price for them. But anyway, Polaroid Mint 2-in-1 camera printer. NASA Space Exploration Vehicle. Remember that vehicle? It's really slick. It's really, really cool. Is now an awesome Matchbox toy car. So, as a kid, man, I collected a lot of Matchboxes. Matter of fact, I have a case someplace that's probably got 100 Matchboxes in them. They're not worth nothing. They're all tore up and dinged and paint off them. And I was pretty rough on Matchboxes as a little kid. But the Matchbox, a Mattel-owned car brand, has released, again, a metal and plastic toy version of NASA's Space Exploration Vehicle, or SEV. And it's mobility chassis called the Chariot. The roughly 180th scale model includes many of the key features of the full-size astronaut rover. So, link will be up in the show notes. Might be time to start collecting matchboxes again. All right, your Uber Eats delivery is arriving now via drone. Uber's big plans for the future transportation, that includes replacing the pizza delivery guy with a drone. Okay, what do you think? Would they get the pizza there faster than the pizza delivery guy? Is it going to make it hotter, taste better? I don't know, something about the guy coming to the door, ringing the doorbell, pulling the pizza out of the pizza case, that hot steaming pizza. I don't know. It's like reading a real book, right? Is that an experience you want to give up? But the company made the announcement Uber Elevate in Tokyo on Thursday as part of a broader plan for what it sees as the future of on-demand aviation. This was the third Elevate conference for Uber following events in Dallas and Los Angeles and focused on the future of Uber Air. The on-demand and push-a-button get a flight flying car service that it says will change transport cities of the future. Flying car service in Hawaii, if it was affordable, sign me up. I think I'm going to be dead and gone before this stuff gets implemented. All right, moving on here. 5 reasons to wait for the Galaxy S10 instead of getting a Note 9. So those of you who are thinking about this, it's a pretty good article talking about some of the features in the Galaxy S10, like a new design, new fingerprint sensor, triple lens camera, performance, maybe a reason for you to wait for the S10 instead of getting a Note, all right? Also, those of you that like premium TVs, Sony's premium Bravia Master TVs are starting at $4,500, and you can pre-order them now. If you've been eyeing a Sony top-of-the-line Bravia Master TV, you know already how large a dent they're going to make to your bank account by that $4,500. That's the base cost, because that's for a 55-inch A9F. The 65-inch Z9F can go as much as $5,500, while the 75-inch will set you back $7,000. I'll be honest. In my house, I have a Sony TV in the living room. When we went to buy that, and we didn't spend that much money. I did spend a lot, $1,600 or $1,700, maybe $1,800 for the Sony I got, and I think that was with some coupons. The side by side, looking at the difference between a Sony and a Samsung, which were the two contenders, the colors on the Sony just really, to be honest with you, won hands down. I'm a big fan of the color tones Sony put out, but not at $4,500, to be quite frank. That's wow. You know, that's just too much money. It really, really is. Okay, the BlackBerry Key 2 LE goes official at $399. There's been some reports over the past couple of months suggesting that TCL Mobile, the company that makes BlackBerry branded smartphones, could launch. But the handset has officially been launched by the company at IFA 2018, and it's going to be priced at $399. So if you're a BlackBerry fan, specifically running Android, but you still have that tactile keyboard, it is going to be available for you, okay? LG is showing off an 8K OLED and huge micro LED TV. Well, largely because of Samsung and what Samsung is doing in the space. You know, a few years ago, it was curved TVs and 4K, but the never-ending game of LG versus Samsung, who can create the most unnecessary display, has moved on. You know, yesterday Samsung showed off its first consumer-ready 8K QLED TV at IFA, but LG wasn't going to let its Korean nemesis take all the limelight here. So today LG announced its own 88-inch 8K OLED panel, which none of us will ever be able to afford. I love OLED, I'll be quite frank. The pictures on OLED screens are more real than life. I think they're stunning, but they come in a stunning rich man someone that's like making $250,000 a year could afford. And if there's anybody in this audience making that much money, you better be an insider. But honestly, someone's, I guess corporations are going to buy these and put them in lobbies. I don't know. I just don't see them selling that many. Also, the Sony Xperia XZ3 looks like a larger XZ2 with an OLED screen. So if you're a fan of the Xperia XZ2, you'll definitely want to check out the XZ3. Also, Garmin new fitness tracker monitors your blood oxygen levels. So that's kind of cool. Garmin has revealed the newest Vivio Smart fitness tracker. For the Vivio Smart 4, the company is adding Pulse OX2 oximeter, which measures the oxygen saturation in your blood. I guess, what is that really? Oh, I think that's what, when you have one of those devices clipped to your finger in the doctor's office, it tells your blood level. I think what Garmin's trying to do here, and what I understand from this article, is they're trying to determine how well a person is sleeping, and it also could figure out where they stop breathing during sleep, meaning they have sleep apnea. So this is kind of cool. You guys know I am on a CPAP machine. I've been on one for many years. Probably 10 years at this point I've been on a CPAP machine. I went through a stage a couple of weeks ago where I was ripping the thing off in the middle of the night. I don't know why. I would wake up and check the log on the sleep apnea machine. It would show I'd used it for like an hour and a half. I've gotten over that, but there was a short stage there where unconsciously I was taking the CPAP machine off, which is not good. So this, I might get one of these, $129. And just for that, to see where the O2 level is, see if I'm getting good oxygenation, I guess, at night. The folks at Android Central are promoting the best universal car mounts of 2018. Link will be up in the show notes on that. And finally, tonight, you get a lifetime of privacy with VPN Unlimited for $39.99. I have no idea how good this VPN is, but the folks at PC World have a pretty good write-up on it. Why, did I have one more? Oh, yes, one more. Microsoft is going to increase device limits. This is cool for Office 365 consumers. So if you have an Office 365 consumer subscription, it's basically you're going to be able to have it unlimited users on that. That's pretty cool. It really, really is. See, it says Office 365 home and personal users will be able to install Office on all their devices, but they'll be limited in the terms of number of simultaneously signing users allowed. So what is that number? Currently, Office 365 home, which costs $99 a year, enables 5 people in a household to use the core Office apps. And so the current limit on the number of devices total which can run these Office apps is 10 across 5 users. Office 365 personal limits 1 user to installing those. So starting October 2nd, Office 365 personal users can sign into 5 concurrent devices at the same time. What's the next level? They can load Office apps into multiple devices, but only be signed into 5 for home starting October 2nd. That updates to 6 users across all your devices, and each user can be signed into the 5 device at the same time. Technically, that means an Office 365 home customer could have 30 home subscriptions running at the same time with each user getting 5 signed-in devices. I think that covers it. So I'm not run up into a problem using Office 365. And yes, I pay the $99 a year for the pleasure to do that. I'm looking forward to getting back in the studio. I really am. A little more structure to the show. More of a regular schedule for me personally. It's been a rough, I've been putting in a lot of hours over the past couple of weeks. So I would say getting in here and doing the show. I'm coming off some very long, long days. So that has probably not helped the, I thought last show was pretty good. This show, I'll give it about a 75% good rating. Pretty critical of myself. But thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the Ohana. Thanks for staying subscribed. Again, back live at 8 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time on Thursday, a week from today, because of the Labor Day holiday on Monday, no show. But that's 2 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast, 11 p.m. Pacific. So if you're up later, if you're in Australia or Europe and you're up in the early in the morning, you can watch the show. I know we get a lot of people checking in that are night owls, and we actually got folks that check in live when we're doing from Australia as well. So that's pretty cool. All right, that's it. Let me get out of here. Thanks for listening. Send your emails to geeknews@gmail.com. Definitely, please, please, please continue to support GoDaddy, my sponsor. And you as an insider, if you're not an insider, become one. And if you are an insider, thank you. Bless you for your ongoing contributions to the show. It helps out a great deal. GeekNewsCentral.com/insider is the place to go and set up your $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month monthly donation, or there's a link there to make an annual donation as well via the website. But definitely appreciate all the insiders and the new folks that are coming on and supporting the show. Even if it's at the $2 level, I definitely appreciate it very, very much. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you. We'll see you back in Honolulu. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.